Summer is almost here, so that's good. And you may be planning a trip. You may be planning a road trip, booking airlines, hotels, Airbnbs. What are your legal rights and obligations when it comes to cancellations and things like this? With us today is to talk about the legal rights when traveling is Jeffrey Ment, who's the founder and partner of Ment Law Group. He's admitted to the Connecticut and New York bars. He's been an attorney for 26 years with experience helping, among other clients, travel companies and hospitality groups. Welcome to the show, Jeff, and thank you for coming back again.
Hey, Karen, how are you today? Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, let's talk, and some of these things we've talked about before, but I know there have been some new laws about airlines, and, you know, it seems like for my entire life, airlines have been very protected when it comes to cancellations due to either their issues or weather issues. Has there been a change in the law recently? I know Biden, President Biden, was talking about making some changes or suggested changes.
So I think that 2024 will go down in history as the year that the travelers and flyers' rights became clearer, easy to understand, and in fact, the law of our country. So yes, major changes are coming. The effective date is essentially in the fall of 2024. But there are changes coming on all of these issues, particularly the very important one about refunds when flights are canceled or, very importantly, delayed. And I think that that's a new change that everyone would be happy to hear a little more about.
Yes, please tell us. So I guess we have to kind of parse this as far as when an airline cancels because of their own issues, whatever it is, staffing or mechanical issues versus weather, unforeseen circumstances.
Well,
why don't you give them to us?
I think the first thing we need to think about is where are you going? If you're going domestically inside the United States or internationally outside of the United States, outside of the United States would include Canada or Mexico. But the rule is very clear now. If you are going to leave 3 hours later than you thought you were leaving, the airline must allow you to get a refund if flying domestically. If you are scheduled to leave 6 hours later on an international flight, likewise, the airline must offer you a refund. The catch is that if the airline offers you an alternate, another time, later in the day, tomorrow morning, you're no longer eligible for the refund. So the rule is clear, and this rule now no longer leaves the reason for the cancellation to be important.
Oh.
It could be anything you could think of. Name it. Weather, flight crew shortage, aircraft maintenance problem. Any reason, controlled or uncontrolled, now opens up the opportunity for a refund. So for all the people that have sat in O'Hare for hours on end waiting for a storm to pass, the floodgates of refunds will now open late in 2024, assuming that you're willing just to take your bag and go home rather than fly when you're able. That's a huge change.
It is a huge change. And I just remember being at the whim of the airlines where you're up there and you're trying to negotiate. You're trying to be nice. You're trying to be firm. You're trying to ask them if you can, you know, can you get me on some other flight? Can you give me some options? And, you know, that is a fabulous change in the law. And I applaud everyone responsible for that. So
these changes are meant to take away that subjectivity that the airline used to have and really make the refund requirement objective. It, in fact, spells out time limits for the refunds. So a credit card refund is within 7 days and a non-credit card refund is within 20 days. So it's no more waiting and hoping for the refund to come through.
I love it. Okay, we've got a few minutes before we have to break, but I want to talk about lost luggage because I want to say that some of these proposed changes also included issues relating to lost or delayed luggage.
So they do. That's not quite as spectacular as the refund rule that we talked about. If the airline doesn't deliver your bag within 12 hours, they have to refund you the baggage fee, if any, that you paid to bring your bag along. So if that bag shows up 11 hours later, that's one thing. 13 hours later would trigger a refund of the fee. Now, that's one part of the new rule. There's always been a rule about delayed missing luggage that we can talk about if you want to move into that topic.
Let's do that, but let's take a break first. We're here talking to Jeffrey Ment. He is an expert on travel law. He's the founder and partner of Ment Law Group. Let's take a break, and we'll be back in a minute on the Karen Conti Show. Just thinking about planning a vacation makes me happy. Going on vacation makes me really happy, but planning it, looking forward to it. But when things go wrong, that's when you need to know what your rights are. And we're here with Jeffrey Ment, who is an expert on travel law with the Ment Law Group. Thanks again for joining us, Jeffrey. Let's talk just very briefly about lost luggage. We talked about the fact that if it's 12 hours delayed, you get your baggage fee returned to you, which is probably not a whole lot of money, a lot of pain in the butt, but not a whole lot of money. So what about, why don't you finish up that topic and then we'll move on.
Sure. So if the bag is gone, never to be seen again, and gone to the airline means about 5 days or longer, you can get up to, but not more than, $3,800 for the contents of your bag if you're flying domestically, or $1,700 if you're flying internationally. But there are lots of exceptions for high expense items that the airline refuses to be responsible for.
Can you just run through a few of them? Just these are things that you really shouldn't pack if you care about them, and don't care if you're not compensated, because those are specifically excluded. Can you just run through a few common ones?
Things like cash, so money, money or cash equivalent would not be. So if you were carrying a gold bar, seems unlikely, but that wouldn't be covered. Expensive jewelry is not going to be covered. Certain antiques are not going to be covered. And so the airline's small fine print lists an extensive array of items not covered that you would need to specifically insure if traveling with.
Got it. All right, travel insurance. And I know that's a big topic, and there's a lot of, depends on the trip and it depends on the insurance, but what are some just general rules about whether or not to buy travel insurance? And when you do, what's important?
I think the first thing to think about is, are you going to be okay if you lose the money? Is it a trip that you need to insure against losing the money? Because if it's a short trip, a low amount of money for the trip, it may not be worth the cost of buying the insurance. But there are a multitude of travel insurance products out there, and you should be an informed consumer when buying travel insurance, because they are very different from one another.
You know, and one of the things that I always make sure of if I'm taking a big trip, I just was recently in Africa on a safari, and I thought it was very, very important to make sure that there was a medical portion of it, that if I needed to be airlifted or if I needed medical attention, that I was covered, because that can be a nightmare, especially when you're traveling in places like Africa where you've got bugs and diseases and things that you're not quite used to. But you know, that's one of the things that I look at very, very carefully.
Yeah, I'd say that the major pieces of travel insurance that people should be thinking about would be trip interruption, sickness, cancel for any reason. They do have lost luggage and delayed luggage components of their policies as well. If you're traveling to a handful of countries in the world, like Russia, like Turkey, like Antarctica, which is a continent, not a country, you must have travel insurance. So some places mandate it. Most places suggest it.
Got it. I had a listener call in about a trip and fall that happened on a cruise ship. And I do hear about these things. Someone gets food poisoning, they trip and fall. There's an injury in the health club. Is it difficult to sue a cruise line? And if you do, where does that have to be brought?
Cruise lines have interestingly created their own little legal ecostructure in Florida. You have to bring virtually any personal injury lawsuit in Florida within 1 year, which is much quicker and shorter of a deadline than for any other kind of injury claim. There are law firms in the Florida coastline areas that specialize in cruise line claims. They do them all the time. You are best served speaking to somebody who knows exactly how to handle those claims. They are unique from anything else.
Let's talk about car rentals, because we get up to that line and they're trying to sell you that insurance and you don't know what to do. Are you buying that insurance if you have good auto insurance?
So what you just said is really the first factor. Do you have good auto insurance on your own vehicle? If the answer is you don't have complete coverage or comprehensive coverage or collision coverage, then you absolutely should buy the car rental insurance policy. If you have a full, robust insurance policy, you do not need to. And if you are unsure if your credit card provides this kind of coverage, you need to check with your credit card company first. And always remember, you have to use that credit card for the purchase of the car rental in order to be eligible to use the insurance benefits. It can't just be in your wallet.
One of the things that that struck me as really interesting was many years ago, I had a WGN listener call me, and her husband was tragically injured and killed on a trip. And we looked over all her paperwork, and sure enough, American Express provided a huge benefit for people who were injured and ultimately, you know, for medical issues, and actually like a almost like a life insurance policy. And it provided for her and her family for the rest of her life. So I think that's one of the things that I don't. Do you know anything about those types of those types of plans?
Sure. I think American Express still remains kind of at the leading edge of benefits like that. I think Capital One cards have that. But as you probably know, if you look in the world of credit cards, there's gold and silver and platinum and diamond cards. Each has a different benefit that you may be eligible for.
And those, you know, you never want to think about those things. But when I take a big trip, I really kind of line up all my documents and look at them and really try to figure out, hey, if something were to happen here, what do I do? So I can pivot, you know, in the right direction. When you're in an emergency, sometimes you don't have access to all those things. Now, when everything's on your phone, it's a little bit different. But that's something that you should always do.
And that's another good reason. Many of these times when you're making your reservation online or you're checking in, there's an optional question for a family member to contact in the event of an emergency. So you should always fill that in. You can certainly bypass it and avoid it. But the person that's going to be back home, hopefully never receiving that phone call, should know about your assets or your estate or how to help you or your family.
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't want to go on a vacation and think, oh, I need a will because what happens if? But even just simple things, you know, even simple things like deliveries coming to your house and, you know, mail piling up and all of those things that can give the heads up about, you know, the fact that you're gone, right?
There are plenty of examples out there where people have unfortunately posted information about being away and found themselves to be the victim of a burglary. For sure.
I mean, if you're so inclined, you know, all you need to do is look at on Facebook during vacation time, and you probably can figure out who those people are, where they live. Now that everything's at our fingertips, and that is very dangerous to do.
I guess that's another reason for all of us to get Ring cameras or the like, so you can see who's
Absolutely.
Coming in during your vacation.
That's right. Let's talk about cancellation for hotels. And that can be tricky when you deal with a third party like Travelocity. You think you're dealing with a hotel, you're really not. You're dealing with a third party that might have different refund issues. Can you just give our listeners, I mean, obviously everything is different when it comes to hotels and these travel sources, but what do you suggest listeners do?
Sure. I think you're right. You can book direct with a hotel. You can book through a travel agent, or you can book on an online travel agency website where you're not really communicating with a person. And that type of site often will have different cancellation policies and refund policies. The good news is that there are new laws coming out about pricing and advertising for everything, including hotels. The first law taking effect is in California on July 1st. Going to sweep the nation sooner or later. So it should become clearer. There should be less uncertainty about how much is it really going to cost you when you go to the hotel. But sure, the fine print before you hit click and agree, you should definitely make sure you understand when will you be able to get a refund and when does that clock stop for refunds.
And put it on your calendar because life happens and all of a sudden.
If you're uncertain,
Go
ahead. About your travel plans.
Yeah, absolutely. And put it on your tickler because something comes up at work or somebody gets sick. You want to make sure that you hit that deadline to get your money back as best you possibly can.
Interestingly, you should keep track of what time zone does that clock change at.
Ooh.
If you're Central Standard Time, but it's a time change that's Pacific or Eastern, you need to be mindful of that.
You know, I want to make sure everyone knows who you are and where they can reach you if they would like to. Jeffrey Ment, he is the expert in travel law. He's the founder and partner of Ment Law Group. Where can people reach you?
People can find us most easily on the web at mentlaw.com, which is mentlaw.com.
Now, I have to ask you a personal question. What are your favorite places to vacation? Now that, you know, knowing that you're a travel guru here.
I think that the European capital cities are all amazing for different reasons. So that's high on my list. But if I were going somewhere today, I'd probably get on a plane and I'd go back to Australia. It's a beautiful continent and a great country.
I totally agree. And then you might as well hit New Zealand while you're all the way down there, right? Jeff, thank you so much.
Extra days and cover New Zealand.
Good day. Thank you so much for joining us.